Tonight, as we study together, we'll be looking at Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Have you considered why it is that we do not fulfill our aspirations in life? Why it is that we do not fulfill some of the goals, visions, and even missions that we set for ourselves? Among the things that may hinder us from accomplishing those things and fulfilling them are things like fear. Fear brought on by external terrors which threaten will keep us from starting a work or engaging in a new work or continuing a work we're already a part of. Foes. Foes tend to distract us. They trouble us, and from time to time they even drive us crazy, such that we end up abandoning the work to give more attention to our foes than we do the task at hand. Maybe the act of foreboding about fortune and wealth and health and good can hold us back from greater progress. This means that we inwardly are convicted that something bad is going to happen to prevent us from being successful in whatever we plan to do, so we hesitate. We maybe think twice about the things that we have planned, and then we end up compromising and or conceding and take a lesser fulfilled position than that of fulfilling completely our goals and visions and mission. Why are we so afraid to trust the Lord to be the provider and deliverer that He is? Psalm 34 praises God for freeing the psalmist from his fears and foes, and then asserts that the Lord always watches over the righteous. It's an interesting psalm, at least an interesting background. If you look at the superscription to Psalm 34, it says that it is a psalm of David when he feigned madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. If David had a specific event of deliverance in mind as he wrote this psalm, it was the occasion of 1 Samuel chapter 21, beginning there in verse 10 and going through chapter 22 and verse 1. It was a time when David was fleeing from Saul. He may have been afraid of Saul to some extent, but he definitely was fleeing from him. In fact, he had gone into the Philistine area, the Philistine city of Gath, seeking refuge from Saul. There he feared what the king of Gath might do to him, and so he pretended to be insane. Because of his insanity, or presented and presumed insanity, the king and his people let David escape. David escaped to a cave, and there his father's household came to meet with him. If this is not the backdrop of this psalm, this event of David's life is not the backdrop, it certainly provides a very graphic representation of what the psalm does depict. God looks after those who trust Him and fear Him. The psalmist learned of God's presence in his own life. David learned that God delivered him from his fears and his foes. In Psalm 34 and verse 4, the psalmist wrote, "I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears." These fears were not internal fears, the fears that David had conjured up of his own mind and heart. No, these were the fears of external terrors which threatened him. Psalm 31, verse 13 illustrates this use. It says, "For I have heard the slander of many. Terror is on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they schemed to take away my life." It was not the matter of what they planned to do, but the fact that they were gathering to do it. their language, their speech, the things that they joined together in that were of greater concern. It was those external terrors. But God delivered the psalmist from those who caused him to have fear. The psalmist then witnesses in verse 5 that he witnessed or watched as the oppressed looked to God. He said, "They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed." He said, when they looked to God, they were glad and they were joyful. That's the kind of God we serve. He has that way about him, that he brings gladness and joy even to those who are distant to him. So the psalmist wrote, "Their faces will never be ashamed. They will never be ashamed because they will not be disappointed or disillusioned by following after God." You see, many times in our lives, shame comes to us because of misplaced trust. Whether it's misplaced trust in ourselves or something we possess or someone else. Job 6, verse 20 and Isaiah 1, verse 29 speak to these matters. But the one who trusts in God, the one who trusts in God will never be put to shame. There in Psalm 34, verse 6, the psalmist wrote, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." The poor, afflicted, or humbled man cried out to the Lord. It was the Lord who would save him. It was the Lord who helped the man out of his distress, out of his anguish, and his troubles. The way in which God delivered him, according to verse 7, is that the angel of the Lord came to draw him out. He draws off or draws out and rescues those who fear the Lord. God is a provider and a deliverer. Did you notice when God delivered David from his fears? He said it in verse 4. "I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears." "I sought the Lord" represents going to the Lord in prayer and worship. "He answered me" shows that Yahweh, the God of the Hebrew people, the God who gave the Hebrew people, the Israelites, his name through Moses, responded to the psalmist's prayer by doing what the psalmist asked him to do. It was when David sought the Lord that the Lord delivered him from his fears. Did you notice when God delivered David from his foes? He said it in verse 6. "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Whether the man in verse 6 is David himself or the psalmist who writes or someone that the psalmist observed, "this poor man cried" indicates that the man approached God in prayer. And the Lord heard him, points out that God heard the man's prayers and he saved him from all his troubles, demonstrates that the man prayed about deliverance and God responded to his prayers by delivering him. Both considerations, that of when God delivered David from his fears and that of when God delivered the man from his foes, lead to one conclusion. The Lord always watches over the righteous. God delivered the psalmist when the psalmist feared the Lord, verse 7. And the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. When David revered the Lord, God's presence encamped around him and rescued him from that terrible situation. God's presence took care of David's fears and took care of David's foes. So David proclaimed, he proclaimed, "The Lord is our provider and deliverer." And he's teaching, as if you will, to say that the students of his should learn some things about God. The righteous should learn that God will give them their needs. Verses 8 and 9. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For to those who fear him, there is no want." David exhorts his people to try for themselves, to try for themselves and find out that the Lord is good. In order to try this out, in order to test what the psalmist is instructing, we must take refuge in God and fear him. Why? David answers that in verse 10. "The young lions, thought of as the strongest of all animals, still has wants. They want for food, and yet they hunger. But they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing." In other words, there are some things that are outside our ability to provide for ourselves. And when it comes to those matters, God will provide what is needed by the righteous, those who take refuge in Him and those who revere Him. He will provide it for them, just as He provides for the young lions. The righteous should learn that God will grant them long, good lives if they live in the fear of the Lord. Notice verse 11 and 12. "Come, you children," or "you students, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life? Who is the man who loves length of days that he may see good?" Learn from those who have experienced trusting God. Learn from them and you will come to find that God always works in His perfect timing. And that may or may not coincide with your timing. Learn that He gives what is good and what is perfect. And what He gives may be better than what you asked for. Or it may be something altogether different than what you asked for. Learn that He often goes against our thinking. You see, we think that a long, enjoyable life has some secret that very few will ever find or discover. And those who find it and discover it may not still be able to achieve it. But God reveals it is as simple as fearing the Lord, being honest, avoiding evil, doing good, and seeking and pursuing peace. All of it summed up in one phrase: fear the Lord and serve Him. This is a balanced life. Fearing the Lord and being honest and seeking good, or seeking and pursuing peace while doing good, balance one another out, with the middle portion being that of avoiding evil. In this life that one is called to live, there is more good than bad, more positive than negative aspects. He even explains in verses 13 and 14 what it means to avoid the evil. He says, "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit." In other words, avoid malicious talk and avoid lying, and you'll avoid a lot of trouble in this life. Verse 14, "Depart from evil and do good." It means do not go looking for evil. Evil has a way of finding us at times. We surely should not go looking for it. Instead, we should be looking to cause good for people. Do good. and work to cause good things to happen to others. Seek peace and pursue it, closes out verse 14, and it means to work with conditions in such a way to make for prosperity, health, happiness, and the common welfare. God watches over the righteous, and He listens to their cries for help. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears are open to their cries. God's provision for a long, enjoyable life for those who fear Him is so important that Peter would quote this passage in his own writing of 1 Peter chapter 3 while instructing believers in how to conduct themselves considering what Christ has done for us. When we consider what Christ has done for us, it ought to cause us to live in a certain way. The way in which we should live, Peter says, is exactly what is outlined for us here. Fear God, be honest, avoid evil, do good, seek and pursue peace. The righteous should learn that God will rescue them from their troubles. God hears the cry of the righteous and delivers them out of all their troubles or anguish, verse 17 of Psalm 34. God is attentive and watchful toward the brokenhearted or discouraged. And the contrite spirit that has lost all hope, He reaches to save, to help, or deliver them, verse 18. But then in verse 19 He says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. It shows that the righteous are not free from troubles, difficulties, bad things happening to them in life, sufferings that they must face, or even misfortunes. Rather, they are freed from or rescued from these things. But the Lord delivers them out of them all. Verse 19. God will not let us be defeated or destroyed because of our afflictions. He will deliver us from them, often by being present with us through the entirety of them. At times, providing for us what we need in order to address them. And at times, guiding us through them until we come out on the other side of them. You see, it's like God is the voice on the other side of all our troubles, simply inviting us, come. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Keep coming now, my child. Just keep coming. Verse 20 talks about the great care God provides. It says that God keeps all the righteous man's bones. Not one of them is broken. What protection we have from God. What protection we have that He would keep us perfect and complete. In the end, verse 22 explains, the Lord redeems the soul of His servants, and none of those who take refuge in Him will be condemned or held guilty. You see, the Lord redeems the souls of His servants is presented as a timeless present. His redeeming of our souls is timely. It's timely now, and it will be timely at the judgment. Those who trust in God for protection will not be condemned. They will not be found or held guilty. For they have feared the Lord and sought refuge in Him. But in contrast to the blessings received by the righteous, the unrighteous should learn that they will suffer the face and fury of God. Psalm 34, verse 16 reads, "The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth." God's hostility toward evildoers will result in them not being remembered after they die. How sad a fate that one would live a life upon the earth and in their passing not even be remembered. Two other psalms mention this conclusion for the life of evildoers. Psalm 9, verses 5 and 6 speak of wicked nations and even wicked cities that suffer the same fate. There the psalmist wrote, "You have rebuked the nations, you have destroyed the wicked, you have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy has come to an end in perpetual ruins, and you have uprooted the cities. The very memory of them has perished." Family names of evildoers will be forgotten. Psalm 109, verses 14 and 15. "Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, and do not let the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off their memory from the earth." Verse 21 of Psalm 34 reads, "Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned." Evil will sometimes bring an end to other evils. It's the way of the wicked. Everyone getting at someone else because of some matter. The evil or wicked who hate the righteous will be condemned. They will be held guilty. So although the evil may bring an end to other evils, divine punishment provides both justice and deliverance for the righteous. David says, we must learn the choice is ours. We can choose the way of wickedness and come to a gruesome end, or we can choose the way of righteousness and avoid even being condemned. So what are we to make of this psalm? What are we to take away from it? Some questions by way of application. Do we think about the Lord as often as we should? There are only five verses in this psalm, 22 verses in all. There are only five verses in this psalm that do not include the word Lord. One of those five verses actually has a pronoun referring to Him. 18 out of 22 verses mention the Lord. Only four verses do not mention the Lord. What about our lives? Are there more days of our lives spent telling about the goodness of God than there are days in which we fail to even mention His name? It's far too easy in this world to get caught up in the fears, foes, and foreboding of fortunes while not remembering the Lord is our provider and our deliverer. And He provides us with all we need to be successful. And when we run into difficult situations and we run into things that are of problem and concern, He will deliver us if we will fear Him and seek refuge in Him and seek the Lord. Do we trust God for what we need? There are indeed things in this life that we can provide for ourselves, and by our means of living may be able to provide additional things. But yet there are still things outside of man's ability and scope to provide for himself. God satisfies the legitimate needs of our bodies. God also provides for our needs of the soul, something we cannot provide for ourselves. But do we trust Him? Do we trust Him to provide what we need? Are we proclaiming the majesty and might of our God, His greatness and glory? Or do we even hear, or do people even hear us speaking of what God has done? We ought to be inviting people to join us in raising a hallelujah, in praising Yahweh for all He has done for us. Do they hear us proclaim His greatness? Do they hear us speaking well of Him? Do we consider the Christian life to be the best way to live this earthly life? Many people are seeking a long life and they're looking for that secret, but God has already given us the key to a long and enjoyable life while here upon the earth. Revere Him. Fear the Lord. Revere Him. Respect Him, and most of the other things will be taken care of. And the ones that are not, we trust Him to take care of. Do we consider then the Christian life to be the best way to live life? Do we trust God to deliver us from our fears, those external threats, from our foes, the things that distract us and trouble us and drive us crazy at times? Do we trust God to deliver us from our own foreboding about fortune and health and wealth and good? Will I have enough health to finish the task, finish the course? Will I have enough wealth to finish it out? Will I have enough good days or good things to happen to me to do what I want to do? Do we trust God to deliver us? Do we trust God to redeem us as His servants? Do we trust God when He promises to oppose evildoers and to condemn them? Once we have learned of God's presence and proclaimed Him as our provider and deliverer, we become much like David. Much like this psalmist in Psalm 34, verse 3, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. The Lord God is our provider and deliverer. Let us not forget it. Let us follow the direction of the psalmist who says that we ought to seek Him, take refuge in Him, and fear Him. Will you seek the Lord for the good and legitimate things you need? Will you take refuge in the Lord from the fury of His justice against evil? Will you respect and revere the Lord for what He has done for you in providing for you, and trust Him then to deliver you, especially deliver you on the day of judgment? In the middle of the psalm, the psalmist says, O taste and see. Try and find out for yourself that the Lord is good. Tonight you may be one who is outside of Christ. You're missing out on so many blessings that God intends for you to receive. He wants you to be His. He wants you to seek Him, to take refuge in Him, and to revere Him, so that He can not only provide for you, but He can take care of you all the way through your dying days and on into eternity. Maybe you're a child of God who's wandered away, who has allowed sin to enter your life once again, and God is calling you yet again to remember what it was to have the Lord on your side. Really and truly, for you to be on the Lord's side. He is inviting you to come back because He wants you home. So His invitation is simple. Oh, taste and see. Come and try and find out for yourself that the Lord is good as we stand and as we sing.